If you listen to A Fireside in Vegas, Part 2, you may remember this. The comforting cup of warming chamomile tea with good honey, canceling the wet chill of the morning, preparing me for a good day, arming me against its feeble failures. The asparagus from the Bianca hits my tongue like Cupid's arrow. Connect, connect, connect. The chamomile, the smiling fruit, the welcoming vegetables blend pleasure relentlessly, searching for more. New ones, old ones, liminal pleasures outside of newness and age. Blend the smiling possibilities, blend. I brush off the leaves of spinach, Popeye's dandruff, to get to the good stuff. Cooked veggies, and then the bright benevolence of the frittata eclipses the failure of the mushroom mess yesterday. It is not forgotten. Bad things are not to be forgotten, but learned from. What can reality be but the land outside of dreams? The watermelon struggles against its insulted relative in Edo's Watermelon Amuse from last night, which reeked of bootleg Bovril and the cruelty of cultivated blandness, and it succeeds, sort of. Stomach too full of frittata to throw much of a parade. A gentle toss, perhaps. I'm reading an article in the New York Review about Trinidadian poet Dion Brand, which certainly influences the notes I'm taking during the meal. In the lobby, the statue of Michael Jackson is gone. His looming, rhythmic pederasty no longer imperils young boys. As Lincoln freed the slaves, Jackson's evil proclivities no longer threaten my 5-year-old grandson Lincoln and the grandchildren of us all. Not reading Dion Brand's poetry, just reading about her poetry altered my writing while I was enjoying my frittata. Okay, now let's cross the border into Brandland.
May I see your passport, please?
Yes, I have it right here.
Yeah, look at this.
This photograph doesn't look a bit like you now, does it, sir?
Well, it's an old picture.
Precisely.
Is there anything wrong?
No. Would you mind waiting over there, sir? Oh, just leave your bags.
But my passport...
Next, please.
Information. May I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to know...
Not for 12 hours. You'll be informed at your hotel.
Yes,
would
but...
you like to send a wire?
Well, yes, I guess I'd better.
One moment.
All right, sir. Do you want this to be a night letter, regular, or guaranteed delivery?
Which is fastest?
At this time of day, they all receive equal attention, depending, of course, on the zone involved. Which zone was that, sir?
I'm sending it overseas.
No, please, the zone. Look at the map.
Oh, well, then I suppose it would be...
I beg your pardon, sir, but is this your bar of soap?
Well, I suppose it is.
So do we.
All right, sir, your telegram has been sent. You will be receiving it in about an hour. Guaranteed delivery. That'll be 275, sir, no tax.
Well, I haven't had a chance to change my money yet.
Just a moment, sir. Is this your bag?
No, it's not.
Check it again. Do take your time, sir.
This is definitely not my bag.
Just as we thought. Sign here, please. And here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here. Thank you, sir.
We've sent your bags on ahead, sir. Where is it you're staying?
What's the best hotel in town?
Of course! Taxi! The taxis, they are all on strike. And it's too early for the bus. You really are a problem, sir. I suppose we'll have to put you up.
I don't cross the border very often. I have to put my glasses on. This happened after a certain period of time. I don't cross the border very often because of the successive imperialist regimes that have governed here. That seems ridiculous to say, because Canada is no less imperialist or oppressive, but I fool myself into parsing the difference, this being the center of imperialism and where I live, a kind of subdivision. Yeah. I landed there, not so much arrived with intention as landed in Canada because of the kind of ebb and flow of capital and labor that moves and moved bodies like mine in every epoch so far with varying degrees of brutality. What makes me resist the border even more strongly is that in 1983 I was on the island of Grenada working in the revolution when an earlier iteration of the fascism that we now have called Reagan bombed the shit out of us, to nauseate on that clause. Yeah. But I apologize. I apologize to my comrades here, nevertheless, and to my political family, to you, to my kin, for being unable to see you except in these brief, quixotic, and guerrilla-like forays across the border. The poetics of justice. I want to disassemble this phrase just a little bit. You know, I had this old friend, this old communist friend on Tobago, and her name was Jean, and we were talking one day about the elections in Trinidad and Tobago when I was there maybe about 20, 25 years ago, the last time that I was there for that, and she was still alive. And we were talking about, well, aren't you going to vote? And yes, this is going to happen, and so on. And we were driving in a car, and from the back of the car in that late, dark night, she suddenly said, when we said, well, Jean, you're not going to vote? And she said, well, you know, I don't believe in democracy, you know.
Added with power, here they come. International loan sharks backed by the guns of market-hungry military profiteers. A swamp and whose brow is smeared with the blood of the poor. Who rob life of its quality, who render rage a necessity by turning countries into labor camps. Modern slavers and dragons, champions of freedom. And cynical instrument who makes the gun into a sacrament. The only response to the deification of tyranny by so-called developed nations, idolatry of ideology. North, south, east, west, kill the best and buy the rest. It's just spend a buck to make a buck. You don't really give a flying fuck about the people in misery. IMF, dirty MF, takes away everything it can get. Always making certain that there's one thing left. Keep them on the hook with insupportable debt. Passing themselves off as leaders. Kiss the ladies, shake hands with the fellows, and it's open for business like a cheap bordello. And they call it democracy. 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 You see the loaded eyes of the children too, trying to make the best of it the way kids do. One day you're gonna rise from your habitual feast to find yourself staring down the throat of the beast they call a revolution. IMF, dirty MF, takes away everything it can get. Always making certain that there's one thing left. Keep them on the hook with insupportable debt. Democracy. And they call it democracy.
It was this very scary kind of, you know, thing coming at me from the back of the car. And of course, she's correct. How can we? Right? So this business of justice, then, I don't believe in the notion of justice, since it presumes a state of affairs that is somehow formally good, a state that, but for certain anomalies, is legitimate. And in our case, I think that we live in a state of tyranny. And to ask a tyranny to dismantle itself, to claim, to ask for, to invoke justice, is to present our bodies already consigned in that tyranny to the status of non-being, to ask that tyranny to bring us into being. And that is impossible, and it won't. That state is, in fact, anathema. That state is anathema to us, and so I do not write toward anything called justice, but against tyranny and toward liberation. Poetry is liberatory work for me, reflecting, intuiting, making sense of, and undoing the times we live in, a kind of overwriting, a diacritic, a remedy, and a repudiation of the narratives of non-being in this diaspora. Poetry works at the core of where the world gets articulated and amplified language. I'm a poet who is and always has been attentive to politics, and I listen and monitor for the shifts in tenor and cadence and resonance of the languages of power, and I try to retrieve in my work that which is crushed under that language. The monetizing of every square meter of air, water, and land, the triumph of capitalism has given rise to what is now called populism, but what is in fact fascism. The inability to conceive of the sharing of the world and the demonizing and casting out of people who are blamed for being in the world.
Here's one called Winter Night, New Mexico, from a time that I was living in Santa Fe, as the poem starts. 1983, on the plaza in Santa Fe. Card-carrying Indian matron, left hand full of turquoise and silver, in the alcoholic light, put out of some tourist chili trap. And don't come back again, you hear? Understand? Her handful of beads dangling, while Kit Carson kicks her in the ass and pelts her spine with frozen apricots.
Wow. A
sarcastic poem, yeah. That's something I really saw happen.
I have to say that it is not that I have not lived this before. It is not that this affect does not follow or hover. To me, black people in the West have always lived under conditions of fascism. It is that in this particular moment, there is an acute peak in the instantiation of fascism. We are experiencing a kind of eruption from the magma chamber of right-wing white supremacy. And we're experiencing at the same time a kind of capitulation of liberal democracy and its tolerance logics that underwrite a kind of benign racism. We're experiencing these parodies of intellectualism, attacks on ethical questions, them being called like political correctness. It's just ethics, right? And that inventory is a kind of equation for, the cacotopic, the governments of the very worst kind. And we just have to kind of look around us about that. Temer in Brazil, Modi in India, May in Britain, Trump in the USA, need I go on, and the impending Le Pen in France. I might even go back to Christianity to ward that off. To ward that one off, right?
It was Jesus standing underneath bridge outside of San Antonio, second my semi home to my baby's arms. Well, I barely saw him thumbing in the rain another hippie, looking like he never did nobody harm. Got my brakes on, slowed her down and stopped, and I looked around. Got a ride with a woman all alone. I saw the taillights of the Cadillac. I picked him up. in the rainy dawn outside of San Antone. Come on, Jesus. Come on, show yourself. The mole that Saturday, New Mexico just fell away. That woman never let nobody pass. I must have known I was behind him, eyes wide open, singing, shouting. Oh, sweet Jesus, stop for gas. That woman kept holding on. The big sky cracked and it drowned my song. And my rig and I broke down near Santa Fe. I thought I saw him waving as that Cadillac laid rubber smoking westward toward the desert and the city of L.A. Come on, Jesus. Come on, show yourself. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Show yourself.
But it won't help me, of course. Doomed to freedom, doomed to freedom, Sartre said, right? This inventory is also an equation for a people disaster in the Mediterranean and a so-called refugee crisis in Africa and the Middle East. And as those with a kind of brutal sense of entitlement and righteous sense of their own violent colonial histories plot more drastically how best to keep the world to themselves. A month or so ago, this racist U.S. congressman here, Steve King, recognizing in an ally in the new fascist project in Holland with that Dutch politician Wilders, said something like, by the way, Wilders mercifully was defeated. He said something like, Wilders understands that culture and demographics are our destiny. We can't restore our civilization with somebody else's babies. Yeah, this guy said this. Anyway, such a kind of profound hatred of the world is expressed there. Such a dead world he imagines. I mean, these people have, I mean, that's it. You know, this is a dead world. And this brutal imagination, and I borrow that phrase from the poet Cornelius Eady, whose book I just adore, is armed with an electronic surveillance machinery and police and a military apparatus.
Tips Hotline, this is Anthrax, Ashcroft.
Mr. Ashcroft, I'd like to report some suspicious activity.
Are you a loyal American trucker, letter carrier, train conductor, ship captain, utility employee, or other?
Sir, I'm a loyal American meter reader other out here on Crystal Meth Road in Elmertown, and I'm getting a big surge of power in a residence out here.
Good tip. If it's an indoor pot factory, we can take it out with a weed-seeking Rocky Max 2, but it could be men of the desert persuasion.
Who?
Arab, son, pumping up the heat to simulate their homeland conditions. Look, tipster, can you take somebody into custody or something?
No, sir. I just read the numbers going around the little windows and report.
That's more than they'll let me do. Listen, this conversation is strictly Orange Alert Sub Rosa, and I'm not even talking to you, right?
Anything you say.
I didn't say anything.
Right.
Now get inside and see if they'll offer you one of those little cups of sweet coffee.
Sir, I don't drink coffee.
Then would you wave, please?
Huh?
Look up and wave.
Okay.
Say cheese.
A limbo.
Got it. Now you'd better leave the area, tipster, so as not to incite any collateral damage. The Immigration Ranger Squat Squad is only minutes away.
Sir, can I get a copy of my picture?
Of course you can. It's all part of Operation TIPS, your volunteer Homeland Terrorism Information and Prevention System. Train now to be the extra legal eyes and ears that the feds need to get up close and personal with neighborhood terrorists. It's toll-free, 1-555-666-TIPS.
As you saw in Claudia's film, unprecedented in history. So what must poetry do? Whew, well, big job. Big job. You know, over the course of my writing, I have tried to articulate what it is I think that poetry can accomplish. And in my practice in poetry, I have tried to produce a grammar in which Black existence might be the thought and not the unthought. And everything that gives a sentence causality, intention, velocity, trajectory, I think must be thrown up. And I offer my small contribution to that. And I'll just read a little bit from Ossuri's in that regard. This is from Ossuri 1. I lived and loved, some might say, in momentous times. Looking back, my dreams were full of prisons.
If the revolution is to be successful,
excuse me, wait, first
thing,
but
the revolutionary leadership.
No, I was talking about codification. The codification is the central control.
Wait, touching.
The
protocol
situation.
Let me,
all right? You might, all right, go ahead.
Fine.
I just want to tell you about the expediency.
According to the regulation.
Check.
Right. Everything has got to be done in this time.
You have to have the priority of rank.
Right.
Do you mind if I...
Go. Of course.
There is absolute security necessitated.
Got it.
All of these operations.
I'll take it from here. Follow me. Right, Chief.
Gentlemen, I won't take any more credit for this victory than necessary. Lord Kitchener did not, nay, will not die in vain, grid willing. Gentlemen, I as leader will use power like a drum and leadership like a violin. Pick out any idea, compare ideas, with the one idea left, you have no doubt, and without a doubt, we have enthusiasm.
Gentlemen,
to make life whole. It's as easy as a bridge. Now, gentlemen, now that we have attained control, we must pull together as one, like a twin, keeping the prophecy of power as enthusiasm. All for one!
All for one!
And all for one!
And all for one!
Let me hear it for me! You're under arrest!
In our narcotic drifting slumbers, so many dreams, of course, were full of prisons. Mine were without relief. In our induced days and our wingless days, my every waking was incarcerated. Each square meter of air so toxic with violence. The atmospheres were breathless there. The bronchial trees were ligatured with carbons. Some damage I had expected, but no one expects the violence of glances, of offices, of walkways and trains, of bathroom mirrors, especially the vicious telephones, the coarseness of daylight, the brusque decisions of air, the casual homicides of dresses. What brutal hours, what brutal days. Do not say, oh, find the good in it. Do not say there was virtue. There was no virtue, not even in me. Let us begin from there. Restraining metals covered my heart. Rivulets of some unknown substance transfused my veins. At night, it especially at night. It is always at night. A wall of concrete enclosed me. It was impossible to open my eyes. I lived like this, as I said, without care. Tanks rolled into my life. Grenades took root in my uterus. I was sickly each morning, so dearly, what to say? Life went on around me. I laughed. I had drinks. I gathered with friends. We grinned our aluminum teeth. We exhaled our venomous breaths. We tried to be calm in the invisible architecture. We incubated like cluster bombs, whole lives waiting. Discoveries of nebulae and compassion. From the cities, the electric rains pierced us. The ceaseless bitter days folded like good linen. The phosphorus streets gave off their harmful lights. We bit our fingernails to blue buttons. We staggered at the high approach of doorways, plunged repeatedly to our deaths only to be revived by zoos, parades, experiments, exhibits, television sets. Oh, we wanted to leave. We wanted to leave the aspirated syllables, the skeletal dance floors, the vacant, vacant moons that tortured us. When the jailers went home and the spectators drifted away, and the scientists finished their work like a bad dog chained to an empty gas station for blue, blue nights, I got worse and worse.
It had been night. It had been dark night. Silver birds had flown through the night. Their wingtips had brushed me. Their wingtips had brushed my face. Now it was dawn. Now I knew it was dawn. It was dawn. It was dawning. It was getting darker. It was getting darker. It was getting darker where it was night. It was getting darker where it was night. I knew it was dawning. I was sitting on the diesel engine. My back was warm from the diesel engine. My back was warm from the locomotive. I was the keeper of the locomotive. It was dawn. It was dawning. I was yawning. It was an all-night job. It was an all-night job in the train yards. It was by the highway. It was over by the highway. It was over by the Highway 99. It was underneath the sign that said Highway 99. It was underneath the Highway 99 sign. Anyway, the sun came up. The sun was coming up. It was getting higher in the sky. The sky was turning golden. It was the golden sky. It was the pearl sky. It was our father, the sun. It was the golden sky. It was his pearl sky. Now those birds, they flew through the dawn. It was like fish leaping in the high country. It was like trout going about their business in the morning. It was like rainbow trout leaping in the morning. It was rainbow trout leaping through the dawn. It was the scales of our brother the fish. He came leaping through the dawn. He had come back to us safe. He had been away from us. He had come back to us. He had come back to us to make us happy. It was happy. It was like birds flying in the dawn. I was sitting on the locomotive. I had my feet and my boots hooked in the guardrail. I was a young man that morning. I was taking the locomotive to its shed. It had been night. It had been a short run. It had been a short run from Kalinga. It had been a short run from Chowchilla. It had been a short run from Tulare. It had been a short run from Dinuba. It was making me happy. I have been remembering it ever since. I have been trying to say it ever since. Now I have said it again. Now I am finished.
I would fall dead like a specimen at the anthropometric spectacles on the Champ de Mars, the Jardin d'Acclimatation, the mobile addresses of the autopsy fields. Though I could see no roads, I was paid for losing everything, even eyesight. I lived in the internal villages. I lived like a doll, a shaggy doll with a beak, a bell. I thought, this is the way people lived. I lived. I had nights of insentient adjectives, shale nights, pebbled nights, stone nights, igneous nights. Of these nights, the speechlessness. I recall the right ribs of the lit moon, the left hip of the lit moon. What is your name? They asked. I said nothing. I heard the conspiratorial water. I heard the only stone. I ate her shoulder. I could not hear myself. You are mistaken, I said to no one. The chain link fences glittered like jewelry. I lost verbs, whole, like the hull of almonds. After consideration, you will discover, as I, that verbs are a tragedy. A bleeding cliffside, explosions. I'm better off without them, with vermilion, candles, this bedding, this mercy, this stretcher, this solitary, perfectible strangeness and edge, such cloth, this compass of mine, of earth, of mourners, of these reasons, of which fairgrounds, of which theories, of plurals, of specimens, of least and most of expeditions, then travels and wonders, then journeys, then photographs, and photographs, of course. the multiplications of which, the enormity of this, and drill bits and hammer, and again handcuffs, and again rope. Such investigations, then again the calculations, such hours, such expansions, the mind dizzy with a leap, such handles of thought, and then science, all murder, melancholic skulls, pliant to each fingertip, these chromatic scales, these calipers, the needle in the tongue, whole diameters, circumferences, locutions, an orgy of measurements, a festival of inches. Now of attractions and spectacles of other sheer forces and types in the universe, the necessary exotic measurements, rarest measuring tapes, a sudden unificatory nakedness, bificatory nakedness of numbers, of violent phantasms at exhibitions again, at fairs with products, new widgets, human widgets with music, oh wonders the implications, then early in this life, like mountains already pictures and pictures before pictures, their sickness and cameras, eye sickness, eye murder, murder sickness, hunger sickness, this serendipity of calculators. From solitude, all madness, so furious, so numerous, the head, the markets, the soles of the feet so burnt, and the taste so meager, so lightheaded, cloud flashes, the lightning geometry, the core of reflectivity so vastly, vast. The latitudes of where, and here, its contours, its eccentric curvatures, just fine, my lungs, just fine, hypothesis, absolutely, but just fine. Why lungs? Strange theory. Oh, yes, the magnitude of jaundice.
Our topless nurse, Judy, is wheeling our patient into the isolation ward.
Can you hear me in there? Okay, let's shoot him up. Now, patient, you have 10 seconds to tell us what you've got and beat the Reaper.
I'm turning yellow. My God, I've got jaundice.
Jaundice it is! Give him that! Symptom six.
Trenches were like war, continuous areas and registers, logarithms so unexplainable. Besides, anyway, so thermal, atmospheric, wondrous aggressions, approximately here, elaborate like radiations, seismic, yes, all over the body's symptoms of algebraic floods. Petals, yes, petals of sick balm, please, now, yes, for my esophagus, analgesics of indigo, of wires, of course, lemongrass, laburnum, please, lion's claws, remedies, still birdless, though, worldless, asthma with blueness, same radiations, lines in the forehead, tapers, official cities now for appearances, after all this, all these appearances, generous for certain, scraggly, wan, and robust appearances, assignments and hidden schedules of attendance, a promise of blindness, a lover's clasp of violent syntax, and the beginning syllabi of birdlessness, verblessness. Thank you.
Take something with you into the wilderness. A door, a sack of grain, a moment's hesitation, a lesson. Rabbit trails lead to water. The secret traps and ropes hold you up. And hear the barking of dogs, and carry a forked stick, and head north, and show them the door. The wilderness, the tracks, the water. I read most of these poems on the radio at one time or another, which is why they're called radio poems. Obviously. I remember very well reading this one. As a matter of fact, it lent to us a key line, something that we said all the time, which is, there is nothing to eat here. George Tirebiter at one point on the Dwarf album says, but there's nothing to eat here. Well, that's right out of this poem. There is nothing to eat here. We play solitaire when it rains and try to kill birds with stones, and we play the game of stealing stones to make a shelter. At night, we climb to the top of the watchtower to look for clouds. During the day, we sleep. Rivers are difficult to find, although we can always hear them. We drink the juice of flowers and catch water in a hollow rock. The clay pots with painted lions are broken, and no one knows how to make them anymore. Someone came here to steal our books and left all the doors open to the weather. It is hard to be sentimental or achieve success in making love when no wood will burn, and the stones are too rough to stay in place without mortar. Hang on. Stay out of the sun. Never mistake the major arcana for the minor. Which is a little hint from the tarot deck that one should not think that everything is major in your life. Well, I'll read one more for this from this little book. There is no way of knowing if we are on the maps at all. A degree, a blade of grass, an island, displaced, rising. The pole spiraling under the star sets us in the sea or under the sea. You commit to memory the tables of changes, the books of fixed equations. You know the bead oracle and the oracle of boiled mercury and the nine fox teeth. You learn to grind lenses in the shapes of the moon, in the shape of the sky. We mark like birds and triangulate by night. We make the hexagram with any herb. Sometime in the early twilight, we make camp and leave a fire burning beyond the margins of the map in a ring of stones. A third of these little books is called The Day Book of the City. This is a record of a civilization that was some time ago, a long time ago. I don't know where these poems came from. They were found somewhere, scratched on rocks. Today someone came asking questions and none of them could be answered. In the night, a great arch of many blocks of smooth black stone was found. The priests and lords have sent witnesses. This is the meaning of the figures which were not broken. Spring text of the western boundary. Here we of lemon and here we planted trees of red wood and roses. Here we struck down the and we dammed a small with rocks. Here we in the soft and found a the children and birds. Here we raised a flag over the hill. Here we flew our great flag. Here the water never dries. Here we wrote the first prayer and thrust it into cold water. The center of the city has been found. I have ordered two iron pillars raised. The seaward boundary of the city has been found. I have ordered the mirrors. I have ordered the two guardians raised. I have ordered that no more ivory be taken. The ministers have sent word on many subjects. The number of hours in the day has been recorded. I have ordered peace. The people are to be divided according to the symbols of their races. These are the sightings made this day when the tides fell to their lowest. Of the movable stars, which are four in their number, and their natural colors are white, blue, red, and yellow. And their natural metals are quicksilver, gold, brass, and iron. And their natural herbs are applewort, pig's thistle, lemon thyme, and gall. Of the fixed stars, which have as their natural metal antimony, and are as many in their number as the stones and pebbles in the dry fields beyond the city. The survey has been taken. The surveying party has noted the items along the road. I have ordered tiles glazed according to the notes of the party and placed in order along the walls of the city. The items are a foundry, Six trees, two alder, one old spruce, three citrus, the May stone, hedges, a heap of tiny white rocks or bones, a place where animals drank water, the horizon. I have ordered a second surveying party. On this day, no work was undertaken within the walls of the city.